your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Internet, you're listening to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Sarah Avampato. I am your host. You can also hear me on Locked On Los Angeles Kings, as well as the Wednesday editions of this very show, bringing you news from the Western Conference. But today I am talking to three of our great local hosts all about the latest news and events that are happening with their teams. And so today, I've got lined up for you Adam Denker from Locked On Lightning as we talk about the series lead that the Lightning have over the New York Islanders. The Lightning are up 3-1 and could potentially eliminate the Islanders tomorrow, locking up a spot for themselves in the Stanley Cup Final for the first time since 2015. So we talk about the results of the most recent game and what the Lightning need to do to make it to the final. Also, we've got Tony Abbott from Locked On Wild, sharing the news about the recent trade that the Wild made for forward Nick Bjugstad, as well as a look at what is in store for the Wild in the future as they look to slowly, ever so slightly, retool their team for next year. And then finally, Jared Ellis from Locked On Hurricanes is on the show to talk about the trade of Joel Edmondson, or at least the rights to sign Joel Edmondson, as well as the news that the Hurricanes have made a deal with the AHL's Chicago Wolves for those two teams to partner together, starting with the upcoming season. So we've got information on all of that coming up on today's show. First up, let's head to the Lightning and talk with Adam Denker from Locked On Lightning. So we are talking not long after the conclusion of the Tampa Bay Lightning-New York Islanders game, where it all came down to basically about 30 seconds of play to figure out who was going to win this one. I've got Adam Denker, host of Locked On Lightning, here on the show today to break down that latest game and talk about the series. So how big were those 30 seconds of that game where basically all of the goals happened?
It was huge. It was, you really thought after the first period that you were going to be sitting there for a really boring game where this could have possibly been 1-1 going into OT, but things really, really picked up, at least. Lightning scored two goals in the span of 12 seconds after that Brock Nelson goal for, you know, to break the seal for the Islanders. And it was one of those things where, I don't know, I'm sure some of my listeners already know this, but I write notes during the game. And so just having to write down notes, especially, and then do, oh, wow, Andre Palacios scored again, you know, and then write, you know, just fiercely writing throughout the whole thing. But it was a great response right off the bat after that goal, because it's always interesting to see how the Lightning are going to respond. And throughout this whole run, they've really done a very good job of responding to things not going their way. And then after Palat scored the goal to make it 2-1, they were pretty much in the driver's seat. And it wasn't just a matter of really if they were going to win the game, but, you know, how many goals were they going to score before the game was over. So obviously they got one from Point, which was good to see after him missing a game. And then Pat Maroon nets an empty netter to kind of put the final nail in the coffin for the game.
So this game got kind of physical, and it's been sort of a trend throughout this series. Both teams, I think, have some guys on there who are not afraid to lay some big hits and to mix it up after a whistle. Is this sort of what you expected before this series started, that it would be a little bit more of a tough physical game than maybe the Lightning have seen so far in the playoffs?
Well, I think that it's been kind of just really tough, rough and tumble games for the Lightning from the very start of the Columbus Blue Jackets series, because the Lightning really got the reputation of sort of being a soft team during this whole regular season. And that's why, instead of really going for scoring, they decided to get gritty physical players like Barkley Goodrow, Blake Coleman, and then signing Zach Bogosian. And that was something that really hurt them during the season, was not having those kind of guys. And if you're expecting Pat Maroon to really just be the enforcer for your team night in, night out, that's not a good recipe for winning going forward. So, you know, to get those couple of guys, and we saw Coleman score in this one as well. So, you know, the good thing about these three guys was that they aren't just, you know, physical players. They could score, they could dish it all around the ice just like anyone else. But yeah, it was been a physical series. I mostly expected it just to be the Lightning Bad Boys versus Matt Martin, but we've seen pretty much all the Islanders really trying to push their luck with this team as well. We saw Ryan Johnston being a real pest throughout this series, as well as Leo Komarov. So it's pretty much been along the lines of expectations, and I'm sure it's going to get a lot chippier in game five.
The Lightning are, of course, one game away now from making it back to the Stanley Cup final for the first time since 2015. What do they need to do in this elimination game to come out on top and to send the Islanders out of the bubble?
They just need to avoid everything they did wrong in game three. If you look at game three, they had a stupid penalty that led to a game misconduct from Alex Killorn. Obviously, you know, the absence of Braden Point was something that, you know, really affected this team, and just them playing without Stamkos throughout this entire run has been sort of difficult within itself already. But just laying the whole offensive production down at the feet of Nikita Kucherov is nothing you really want to see, because he can't do it all. Part of his game is being able to set up his teammates with prime scoring chances, because all the attention's on him. So the defense kind of just forgets to pick up certain guys and where they park themselves down low. We saw on the Braden Point goal today where he had a second chance right there after Varlamov couldn't stop it cleanly. But they need to just play their game. And I know that sounds really cliche, as well as they need to get the pucks in deep and they need to work the corners. I mean, it's just really just the usual hockey things that, you know, all of us say when we're discussing, you know, the simple things. That if the Lightning could do the simple things, that'll open up the door for everything else that they have within their arsenal. And that's spreading the puck out, and that's just skating fast and just creating breaks real fast. And because once they get the puck over the blue line on the rush, there's really no team in the National Hockey League that can keep up with them.
You did mention Braden Point, who missed a game. What did you notice about his game as you were watching him play? Do you think he's still kind of nursing something and just, you know, came back because it's the playoffs and they're hockey players and this is what they do? Or do you think that he is good to go for the future?
I think he's definitely still nursing something. He was out for a couple of shifts. I'm not entirely sure if he finished the rest of the game. I believe midway through the third period, he got a hit alongside the boards, and he came up and you could see something was bothering him. So he went to the bench, and I believe he went to the tunnel for a minute. I'm not sure if he ever came out, but the key is that I would imagine that Coach Cooper is going to want to sit him and just have him, you know, do some therapy with the trainers tomorrow to really nurse whatever it is. If I had to assume, it's probably either his hip or maybe a hamstring issue. So that's definitely something you don't want to have, especially to a guy who's a big part of his game is using his speed. So expect, you know, Braden Point not to be 100% going into game five, but him being there on the ice, regardless, it makes a world of difference for this team.
Well, game five is going to be happening on Tuesday night on NBCSN for those of us in the United States, and we will get to see if the Lightning finish this out in advance to the next round. For people who want to get up to date on their Lightning news before this elimination game happens, where can they find you and Locked On Lightning online?
Well, they could find the show anywhere podcasts are available. Always, if you're going to listen to the show, the rules are like and subscribe, so you could follow future episodes and be notified of them as soon as they drop. You could go over to Twitter to the Locked On Lightning Twitter page at @LO_Lightning, and you could always follow me as well at APDanker. That's DENKER. You know, I'm talking hockey all day long, not just Lightning, but yeah, it's super exciting. I can't wait. Just expect more of the same in game five from what we saw in this game. I think it's gonna be interesting to see how the Islanders could respond, because the Lightning have only lost three games throughout this entire playoffs. So if the Islanders could break through real early and really put the Lightning on their heels, I think it's gonna make for an interesting game.
Well, there is plenty to look forward to in the next game. Thank you so much for jumping on the show, and we'll maybe see you back here for the Stanley Cup final. Who knows?
Well, I certainly hope so, Sarah. Thank you for having me.
We've got more coming up on Locked On NHL, including a chat with Tony Abbott from Locked On Wild. But first, I want to tell you about a couple of great organizations. First off, let's talk about Roman. So for many people, it's not super easy to talk about erectile dysfunction. People will blame themselves, or they'll brush it off, or they'll just avoid talking about it entirely because it's just, it's awkward. It's hard to talk about. It's not comfortable. And so you just don't do it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it, and you get to talk with a real healthcare professional. And even better, that person can prescribe real medication if that is the best path forward for you. Roman is simple, it's safe, and it is totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A healthcare professional works with you to find the best treatment plan, and if medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. Everything is simple, it's straightforward, and again, very discreet. Getting started is super easy. Just go to getroman.com/lockedonNHL and complete an online visit. This used to be something super tough to tackle, but now there is Roman to make it a little easier for you. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and get it taken care of. Go to getroman.com/lockedonNHL today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's getroman.com/lockedonNHL. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL. Also, let's talk DoorDash because I bet you're hungry. I'm recording this right now. It is lunchtime. I am ready to eat. I'm ready to have food. And I would like that food to be brought to me. And that is what DoorDash is here for. DoorDash brings you the food that you're craving right now, and ordering is super easy. Just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door. With over 300,000 partners throughout the United States, Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local favorite restaurants or choose from some favorite national organizations like Chipotle, Wendy's, and more. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNHL. That's $5 off your order and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNHL. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNHL for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Now we're going to turn our eyes to the Midwest and look at the Minnesota Wild. While there are still teams battling for the Stanley Cup, everyone else is just sort of enjoying their summer plans and trying to find ways to improve their teams and get ready for next season. And the Minnesota Wild are one of those teams who have already made some off-season moves. And so today I have Tony Abbott, one half of Locked On Wild, to talk about what's going on with their team. The biggest news that came out about the Wild is that they recently acquired forward Nick Bjugstad, who is a Minnesota native, which of course made a lot of Minnesota boy comes home kind of noise. What do you think that move means for the Wild? What do you think that that is, how that is going to help your team out in the future?
Look, can't it just be the Minnesota boy comes home stories? We all love those. Those are great. We eat those up all day. I can see why Minnesota did it, right? Because they need depth down the middle. They needed depth down the middle last year and probably the year before that and like every year since they've existed. So being able to get somebody who can step into a top nine role if healthy, like, and being able to get that person for $2 million, I think, after the or at least a $2 million cap hit. I know the salary is actually bigger than the cap hit, but $2 million cap hit and a conditional seventh round. And I think the condition is like if he plays 70 games, so there might not even be 70 games in the NHL this season, next year, depending on how everything shakes out with how they're able to get back to play. So, I mean, this is a pretty good deal in that you got somebody who can be a little bit intriguing for essentially nothing. Like, I think that's kind of the play here, that you have somebody who, you know, might be able to give you something this year and who is an established top nine center and doesn't cost you very much.
And if anything, like you said, there's going to be a ton of great stories and great press around kid comes
former
home.
Former Gopher.
Yes, I feel like every team loves those stories of the kid who grew up there and, you know, played for the college there and comes back home. So even if he scores like one goal, I feel like there'll be a lot of like PR you can milk from getting him on the team too.
I'm excited to see how many Bjugstad jerseys are going to be there when we are finally allowed to go to games again.
a lot of people raid their closets for some college jerseys that they might have sitting around.
No, I mean, just like new jerseys getting sold. Like, I think I saw, you know, just from wild Twitter, right? I think I saw like a lot of love for Nick Bjugstad in his days at the Golden Gophers. And like, I'm not writing him off or any, it sounds like I'm like writing him off, I think, in terms of like being able to give Minnesota anything. If he is able to give Minnesota anything, and I think the injuries are maybe more of an issue than, you know, anything else. But if he is able to give him that, like he's gonna be even more beloved here, which, you know, good for him.
The Wild do have some spots to fill in their forward corps, especially with the news that it seems like it is a pretty sure thing that Mikko Koivu will not be coming back. What can you tell us about that situation, and really what it's going to mean for the team to move on from their captain, from such a long serving player on that team?
Mm-hmm. I think like it's sad to see Mikko go. I mean, he's been in the organization since 2001, at least as a prospect. He made his debut after the 03-04 lockout, or the 04-05 lockout, sorry for getting the years wrong. So he's been with Minnesota for, you know, a decade and a half in the NHL. And, you know, you see a player like that come up with you and play out his entire career. Like, it's always sad to see them go, but I think the sense that I'm getting in terms of reading between the lines is just that, you know, it's time. Koivu did pretty well towards the end of the year being a fourth line center, and from what I've heard anyway, which, you know, isn't firsthand or anything, but it doesn't sound like, you know, he had any complaints about his role. He didn't have his agent send out a tweet of him being stabbed in the back by his new coach. So, you know, he was really good about that. But I think that Bill Guerin looks at this team and he sees, you know, a leadership group of Koivu, Suter, and Parise that has been there for almost a decade now. I think next year will be year 9 of Parise and Suter. And I think that, you know, he kind of wants a fresh voice. He wants to stamp a new identity on this team. And I don't know how much having a 37-year-old Mikko Koivu around is going to help, I guess, in terms of turning the page. So it is sad, but I think that it is time to move on from there. As grateful as everyone in the state of hockey is and or should be to Mikko's contributions over the years.
It's probably a little premature, but any thoughts on who may be the next captain, who may be joining the leadership group and wearing a letter next season in his place?
The two names that I hear in the media locally are Jared Spurgeon and Marcus Foligno as captains. I am very impressed personally by the leadership that that Matt Dumba showed. And I think that if I was rooting for anyone, it would be Dumba. But I think the names that I hear locally are either Jared Spurgeon or Marcus Foligno.
With the Wild looking to kind of reboot their team and start forging a new identity, moving on from longtime players and such, what do you think is next? What do you think is on their agenda for the rest of the offseason in terms of moves they might make, or even, you know, what they're looking forward to in the draft of the kind of players that they are trying to build around for the future?
I think what they want to do is, you know, go out and get that thing that they have arguably never had, or have had only in short bursts, and that is that number one center, that Sidney Crosby, that Malkin, that Patrice Bergeron, somebody that you can put at the top of your lineup down the middle and go toe to toe with the other team's the best guy every night, and you're gonna do fine. I don't know if Minnesota has ever had that for more than like a couple of years at a time. And I think that they're going to be looking for that. The problem is it is very difficult to find those players, especially with Minnesota at the number 9 spot in the draft. So I think that when, you know, that number 9 spot in the draft comes around, they're going to be looking hard at, you know, whoever is there that is going to be available to play center. If somebody like Marco Rossi falls, I think they're going to take a look at him. If somebody like Cole Perfetti if they believe that he can stick at center, I think they might look at him. Anton Lindell is a guy who intrigues me a lot just because he sounds a lot like Mikko Koivu, just a big Finnish center who is known for his defense. And like when you dig into Lundell's numbers too in Liiga, the top Finnish league, they're eye popping. Like he has better offensive numbers than anyone in the last 5 years in their draft year, other than I think Laine. I think Laine is the only guy. So that's really intriguing. Other than that, like the only way that you're going to get that is on the trade market, because there's not really any number one centers there. And I don't know if they strike out on, you know, some of the guys who might be available. Like Anthony Cirelli is somebody who I've got my eye on because of Tampa's cap crunch being so awful that like if they aren't able to pull off that kind of move, I wouldn't be surprised to see them just kind of be in a holding pattern next year. But I mean, if they are able to make that move, it's kind of like, let's go.
Well, that'll be something for everyone to keep an eye on, especially as trades kind of start to trickle out. And now that we have a date for the draft and for free agency, I feel like we're going to start hearing more and more trade rumors. So we'll see if the Wild's name pop up with any of those. Thanks for coming on the show today to share the latest news with your team. For people who want to find out more about the Wild, maybe they have a center of their own that they want to shop and see if it's a good fit for the Wild. Where can they find you and your show on the internet?
All right. They can find us at Locked On Wild on Twitter. And of course, they can subscribe to Locked On Wild. We're going to be talking a little more in depth about Koivu this week, as well as Bjugstad. And I think we're going to be profiling two draft or potential draft choices at pick 9. And we've already profiled, I think, 3 so far. So you can dig into our archives and very recent archives and find those things. You can find me personally on Twitter at @OhHiTony on Twitter. And yeah, don't be afraid to let me know what you're thinking. And we definitely want to hear it. So thank you so much.
Thanks to Tony for jumping on the show. Make sure you're following him and all of our other great hosts and great NHL shows on social media. You can find them. Of course, I have them plugging their shows all the time on here, but you can also just go on to Twitter and search for your favorite Locked On show and get to know the hosts, get to know other fans, all that cool stuff. And of course, follow this show on Twitter at @LockedOnNHLPods so you never miss an episode, so you never miss any of the cool stuff that we are promoting across the Locked On NHL network. So go pull out your phone, swipe open that little lock screen or whatever and search for these shows online to follow us and become best friends. Teams are busy at work right now, even though they are not in the playoffs. And one of those teams is the Carolina Hurricanes, who over the weekend made a trade to get some draft picks and see what happens. And they also announced some big news with their AHL affiliate. So we have Jared Ellis from Locked On Hurricanes here to talk us through the latest moves that the Hurricanes have made. So let's start with the trade, which was the Canadiens sending the rights to Joel Edmundson up to Montreal in exchange for a draft pick. So what can you tell us about that trade and why they are not looking to re-sign him and instead sent him away?
With that draft pick, I mean, me and my friends, we've discussed that at length, you know, when it happened. We all kind of had the same viewpoint. There were some people who were kind of got their feelings hurt because they liked him, you know, fan favorite, whatever. But personally, I think it was a smart move. He was set to become an unrestricted free agent October 9th. Or whenever the end of the season is, and he wasn't going to re-sign. So it was smart for Don Waddell to send him off to wherever to get something for him rather than just end up empty-handed. It's not like they weren't negotiating with him at all, because October 9th is in less than a month. It's September 14th when we're recording this. So here in a few weeks, you know, he'd be an unrestricted free agent. So I'm sure they were doing negotiations. Stuff just didn't work out. So they're like, all right, we're not going to end up empty-handed on this. So they traded him wherever they could and got something for him. And I think it was a smart business move. I know, like I said, some people got their feelings hurt because they liked him and whatnot. But you're going to get your feelings hurt when he didn't re-sign. So it's business, and I think it was honestly smart on Montreal's move just to send a fifth, because it's just negotiating rights that they got. There's no guarantee that he's even going to sign a contract with them here on October 9th when free agency opens. They likely didn't want to give up a whole lot, even though, say, he had another year left on his contract. Yeah, we probably could have gotten more for him, but they probably didn't want to give up a whole lot, so it was smart on their end. And now the Hurricanes have, I believe, 6 or 7 draft picks in this draft coming up.
What's the blue line going to look like for the Hurricanes next season now that they have this spot opened up, since they are not going to be re-signing Edmondson?
It'll look different, that's for sure, because another unrestricted free agent we have, actually two, is Sammy Vatanen, who we got in the trade from New Jersey, and Trevor Van Riemsdyk. I could see TVR maybe re-signing, but I wouldn't guarantee it. And Vatanen's likely going to command a high salary, and him being injury prone, maybe not the best decision on the Hurricanes' end. So I don't see either one of them coming back either. So that'd be two more spots opening up. It'll look different for sure. Top pairing will probably stay the same, Slavin and Hamilton. Second pairing would likely be Brett Pesce, because he's going to be back from injury. And then that spot opening up there, potentially Jake Bean, who we get from Charlotte, or now Chicago. Which we'll talk about that later. And then third pairing would probably be Hayden Fleury and Jake Gardiner.
You segued right into the next thing I wanted to talk about, which is the Hurricanes AHL affiliation. And usually when I do these shows, when I interview all of the hosts from across the network, I'm asking them about things that I like vaguely know about, that I'm, you know, had read about or saw around the hockey world. But this one I actually know a fair amount about, because Chicago's my home turf and I have covered the Wolves for the past couple of years. So this will be a little bit of a back and forth between two people who actually know what's going on. So what can you tell us about the move that the Hurricanes made in regards to their AHL affiliate, and why it's no longer going to be in their backyard?
Hurricanes and Checkers, they haven't given us a whole lot to work with as far as their statements and whatnot. But a couple of rumors that I've heard, again, these are just rumors, so take it with a grain of salt. I heard that to extend the agreement, which the Hurricanes and Checkers, they have been together for 10 years. So it won't, like, it was, you know, a little short-term thing. Charlotte was wanting a lot of money that the Hurricanes couldn't necessarily afford because of all their contracts that they got coming up within the next couple of years. And some of the Checkers people were getting upset because so many of their players were getting called over to Raleigh, and it was really hurting their success on the ice. And they were getting upset about that, even though they're a development franchise and that's their job, is to develop people so they can get called up. But again, those are just rumors and you got to take that stuff with a grain of salt. Don't know what was happening behind closed doors, and we likely probably won't know for a long time what was actually going on those phone calls. So, I mean, it's business. It sucks because they were an affiliate for so long. And they were still in North Carolina, especially like last year when they got the new ECHL affiliate in Greenville, South Carolina. Yeah, everything's right here together. You know, the North Carolina hockey, you know, family, so to speak. And it sucks because that was really cool. But again, it's business. That was another thing. A lot of Hurricanes fans were getting butt hurt over it, like, oh, why'd you do this? Yeah, but again, there's stuff going on that we don't know about. And I'm sure they tried to extend it, just like Joel Edmondson's contract, but it probably just didn't work out. And with Chicago, I don't know a whole lot about them, but I do know they're independently owned. They have their own practice facility and they're close to the airport. They're only a 2-hour flight from Raleigh, whereas Charlotte was a 2.5-hour drive. So luckily from a business perspective, it was a little bit of a nicer draw because Chicago can do a bit more, and it's also a better draw for like fringe NHL players where they could like be bouncing back and forth between the AHL and NHL. Chicago's a little bit nicer than Charlotte, so I'm sure that wasn't a decision that was made carelessly.
And from the Wolves' perspective, their chairman and co-owner has a long relationship with Carolina Hurricanes GM Don Waddell. They go way back to the Atlanta Thrashers days. So I think that that also probably paved a big road in for this partnership to take place. Two guys who worked together for a long time and know how to keep each other happy, I think.
Yeah, is again, yeah, it wasn't a decision that was made lightly. They know how each other works, and it's someone that they feel comfortable doing business with. You know, it's not like you're just calling up some random person on the phone. It's like, you know, I know you. You know, I can be straight up with you. I don't have to be professional, so to speak. I don't have to go to be professional, but you know, they can say what they mean. And I think that'll go a long way in really helping out on both ends, Chicago and the Hurricanes.
That is definitely, I think, in your AHL relationship, you want two teams and two businessmen who get along and can make it work. So hopefully this will be a good move for the Hurricanes, even if it makes some of the local fans a little sad, because now their prospects aren't going to be quite so close to watching, to be able to watch them live and in person. But like you said, it's a business and everyone has to do what makes sense for the business. So we'll see how that works out. Once hockey returns to play, allegedly, next season, I will keep an eye on all of that. Thanks for jumping on the show today to share all the news about the trade and about the brand new AHL affiliate. For people who want to learn more about the Hurricanes and follow along with whatever else happens in the off season, where can they find you and your show?
Well, we can find the show on all streaming platforms, just like this show. We do have a Facebook page, Locked On Hurricanes. I'm trying to get better about posting on there, but I do forget it. And you can find our main post stuff on Twitter at @LO_Hurricanes. And my own personal Twitter is @JaredEllis_96. And going back to the AHL stuff, that doesn't mean people have to stop being Checkers fans. You can still be Checkers fans. You don't have to watch the Florida Panthers, you know, even though they're their parent team now. You can just watch the Checkers. Now you got a whole new team to learn about and watch and fall in love with in Chicago. So it works out, even more hockey to watch.
Perfect. I like it. And the Checkers have a really great mascot. So if you're looking for team allegiances based on mascots, that bear is really good. That bear dances. I saw that bear dance in person. I think that's a really important selling point.
Yes. And I'd have to find it. It was last summer. He did like a little cocktail, little video on Twitter. It was right after they won the Calder Cup. And oh my God, that was hilarious. He put so much random stuff in it. It was hilarious.
See? So yeah, Hurricanes fans, you can still like the Checkers. You've got a cool bear that makes you weird drinks.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to go look up that video right now. And thanks again for jumping on the show. And we, of course, will probably be talking more as we get closer to the draft and more cool things happen across the league.
All right. Sounds good to me.
That's it for today's show. Thank you so much for joining me here. I'll be back next Monday with more interviews with our local hosts as we get closer and closer to the Stanley Cup Final. In the meantime, you can find me on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. You can find this show on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods. Go give us a follow. And of course, subscribe to this show if you haven't already. We are available wherever podcasts are found. Just open up your favorite podcast app or site or collector or whatever, and search for Locked On NHL, hit subscribe, leave a rating or a review if you like what you're hearing, and of course, tell your friends all about it. If you've got a hockey fan in your life who likes podcasts or who maybe is, you know, inexperienced with podcasts and needs a helping hand to help them take a tumble into the world of podcasting, you can help them out. Send them a link to the show, get them to listen and subscribe and become part of the Locked On family. Until next time, this has been Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.